Hello, thank you for joining me. This is Ernestine Lyons, host of Quick to Politic, the podcast, the social commentary show that explores topics ranging from social justice to history, economics, small business, and of course, local and national politics. Thank you for joining me. Okay, we are preparing to go live. The meeting is now being live streamed. Okay. All right, we're live. Okay. So, hello everybody out there. This is Ernestine Lyons. I am host of Quick to Politic, and this is the social commentary show where we talk all things community development, economic development, politics, of course. And we have a very special guest here. We have Detroit Fire Department Chief James Harris. So introduce yourself, sir, and I'll go ahead and read a little bit about your biography, and we'll get right into it.
Good evening, everyone. Happy to be here. First of all, let me start by thanking Ms. Lyons for having me on here. Let me apologize in advance if I get a little long-winded. I love fire safety. I could talk about it. I can preach about it all night. We'll be here to 7 o'clock in the morning. So please cut me, just say, give me a signal or something if I get too long-winded, because I'm very passionate about people being safe.
All right. So there's a passion for fire. And I just kind of want to, you know, get a little bit into the story of you. And so you are currently the Chief of Community Relations. And yes. So here's an interesting story. At 2 years old, your grandfather bought you a shiny red fire chief car, and planting the seed in your head that, you know, you wanted to go after this dream. And so growing up on the west side of Detroit, you had never actually, in fact, met a firefighter, but that didn't really stop you from being a dream chaser. And with your love of family, sports, and people, and that competition, the spirit of competition and that competitiveness kind of made you. And then in addition to being a humble person, it made you the perfect mix to become a Detroit firefighter. So there's that spirit of selflessness. And so while learning to be a professional firefighter, you've met some great mentors along the way. I met one recently who said he was a mentor of yours, Carl Ollier, and he had great things to say about you. And he, of course, he's just like, you've got to ask him this, you've got to ask him that if he's going to be on the podcast. And someone who encouraged him to like to go into the field. And so you have been active and, you know, just doing great things in the city of Detroit, and you've been a mentor, and you've been able to save lives of people in the city. And after 19 years, Harris was promoted to lieutenant with the Community Relations Division, working tirelessly to increase fire safety awareness. And you were promoted to Chief of Community Relations, and your love of public speaking, the love of the fire department is unprecedented. So your hobbies are hanging out with your daughter and working out. And of course you enjoy sports and spending time with friends and family. So a little short introduction, but let's hear a little bit more from the man himself. Like, what is it that the job entails, and what is the day-to-day like for you as, you know, community relations and, you know, specifically, and then, you know, what does the job entail in, you know, one of the largest cities in Michigan being in this role?
It's hard to describe. You got to love people, first of all. Because it's self-explanatory. It's community relations, meaning you're out in the community, you're relating to the people. You can't be judgmental. You got to understand everybody's story. Everybody's different. You can meet a kid like today. I was at a school, kindergartners, and their whole perspective was like, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. Let me see your helmet. Where's the fire truck? hey, let me push that button on that smoke alarm. Hey, where's the dog from? What's
the
that?
Dalmatian.
Dalmatian. Where's the Paw Patrol? And then you could go to a school of middle schoolers in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, and their mind's in a little different space. Like, hey, I watch over my grandmother sometimes. My grandmother was cooking the other day, and she was cooking some macaroni and cheese, and she had to leave out and go to the grocery store. I was downstairs playing video games, and we had a small fire. But thanks to one of your teammates, they came out and they told us prior to what to do if there was a fire. We had smoke alarms working in the home. When the smoke alarm went off, we got out, we called 911, and it was a small fire. It was contained. The fire department came. So that's two different dynamics. And then you could talk to a senior citizen, and they're going to tell you a lesson or two. They're going to tell you how fire used to be back in the day, how fires changed. So it's a love of community and a love of keeping people safe. It's just that perfect match, that perfect storm. Speaking of storms, we got that storm in Florida. I just want to pray for everybody in Florida. That's deep. I can't imagine. We don't have that in Michigan. We complain about our temperature change and going from 90 to 50, but we don't have hurricanes. So let's count our blessings. With this temperature change, I'll go right into that. Now everybody wants to stay warm. And when it comes to being cold, you're going to try to stay warm by any means necessary. Space heaters. Let me say it three times. Space heaters. Space heaters. Extremely dangerous. This time of year, a lot of people use space heaters. A couple of things you need to know. First of all, if you're going to use that space heater, you must be in that room. You must be. Number two, you must stay awake. Number three, you're going to keep that space heater at least 4 feet away from any kind of furniture, any clothing. If you have small children in the home with toys, keep it away from those toys. Keep it away from your pets. Those pets will walk up to it, and the next thing you know, their fur or something can catch on fire, and they could catch on fire. Another thing, people make a mistake. They're like, hey, well, I'm downstairs right now, but I want my room to be nice and warm and toasty by the time I get up there. So let me turn on this space heater. By the time I get to my room, it'll be warm. No, don't do that. If you're not in that room, turn that space heater off. The Detroit Fire Department recommends you take it a step further and unplug that space heater. Don't. They're extremely dangerous. We have fires every year just because of space heaters. Before you go to sleep, turn that space heater off. You can turn it on as soon as you wake up and you're moving around in that room, but don't leave it on while you're asleep. Please don't. Your fireplace. Make sure you get your fireplace inspected. Make sure that chute is free and clean. Make sure you get that chimney swept before it's too late, before it's cold, before you use it. You should be thinking proactive. So August, September, why don't you get it cleaned out before it really gets cold in November and December. Furnace. If you're able, get your furnace inspected every year. Please just get it checked out. Before you turn it on, make sure you have a professional company come out and inspect it. Not one of your buddies who was looking on YouTube like, oh, yeah, I know how to do that.
No, right, no. Right. Just like, oh, I think I might know a little something about that. So
you don't want to play with that.
Well, I also wanted to sort of ask, I know that sometimes, you know, folks, particularly seniors, and I know my mom has been guilty of some of these kind of things where, you know, you leave the oven on to try to warm up, or like you're cooking and you just kind of open it and it's like, oh, it's nippy in here. Let me just open this and, you know, just kind of like, I'm going to let the gas stove sort of, you know, warm it up a little bit in here. And maybe even folks who are down on their luck, you know, using that as an option to, you know, heat the home and, you know, the dangers of that, you know, going into, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but fire safety week. So just speaking to some of those things as well.
Okay. Let me be careful. Just thank God my mom's not on Facebook, and I hope none of my family members are on here. And if they are, just don't tell her. So growing up, my mom used to turn the oven on and open that oven door to keep the house warm. And I didn't know, you know, I'm a child. I didn't, like I said, you said it in my bio, I never met a firefighter. Growing up on the Northwest side, fire department never came out to our career day. Nothing wrong with that. It just didn't happen. So I knew nothing about fire safety. I knew the basics. I knew stop, drop, and roll. I knew not to play with fire, but I didn't know anything about that until I got on the fire department. But please don't turn that oven on and try to keep the house warm. The oven is for cooking. The The oven is for baking. You want to bake a cake? Go ahead. Casserole? Go right ahead. And stay in that kitchen and make sure you're by that oven. But don't turn that oven on to keep that house warm. Number one, it could catch, start a fire. Number two, those fumes can be deadly. You don't want that. You can get carbon monoxide poisoning. Different kind of illnesses can come of that. And you don't want to do that.
And also, like, speaking of carbon monoxide poisoning, I've never really realized, you know, how dangerous that actually can be. And, you know, I'm in a relationship with a firefighter and he kind of talks about these things. And I'm just like, wow, I never realized, you know, how everyday things can be dangerous. And, you know, carbon monoxide is a silent killer. You know, we'd love to hear a little bit more about, you know, protecting folks from that. And, you know, just because so many folks are just not aware, and even having a carbon monoxide detector.
Yes. Well, in the city of Detroit, a couple things. We give out free smoke alarms. So every house in the fire in the city of Detroit, we give you two free smoke alarms, one carbon monoxide detector. Carbon monoxide is frightening. The thing about carbon monoxide is you can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't hear it. It causes dizziness, you get nauseous, and people have passed away due to it. And it's common mistakes. People don't know. It's that education piece. So when you're using a generator, the generator has to be outside. But not only does it have to be outside, you can't have that exhaust facing your home with the window open. That's happened. Your furnace, like I was saying, to piggyback on that again, get that furnace checked out. There are a lot of people that get carbon monoxide poisoning from that furnace. So don't try to tough it out. True enough, you need ventilation. You need those windows open, that door open. But if you feel any dizziness at all, just call 911. Call us. We'll come out. We'll test it. We'll make sure. We'll monitor. We'll make sure you don't have any carbon monoxide in that home. But if you even think about it, don't feel like, oh, I don't want to call the fire department. I don't want to call MishCon for this. Yes, call MishCon ASAP. They'll come out. They've got monitors. If you call MishCon right now, that's one of the prompts, like push one, push two. If you got carbon monoxide poisoning or you think, call. They'll come right out ASAP, real time. So make sure, like I was saying with the generator, never use it in the home. Your furnace could be bad. There's a lithium of things. Your oven could be bad. So that's so frightening. I could go on for all day about that carbon monoxide poisoning. But number one, you need to have a carbon monoxide detector in your home. Keep that carbon monoxide detector between the furnace and the room you spend the most time with, the most time in, I'm sorry.
Thank you for that. Okay, so we got it. Check, no exhaust facing your home. Make sure you check that carbon monoxide and then call MishCon, or would that be also DTE? Like if anybody needs to, you know, you think, okay, I'm not feeling right. There is like this weird, you know, vibe in the house and, yes, you know, there's a like slight smell or something. I'm not sure what I'm smelling, you know, then folks should feel free to kind of reach out and, make sure you let somebody know what's going on.
Definitely. DTE, MishCon, I don't know where people live on here. If you got consumer energy, whoever, call them. But one more thing. If you can live in a home with an attached garage, turn that car off. You know what I mean?
You might want to warm the car up because it's cold out or something like that. But no. Okay. Well, I want to talk a little bit about Fire Safety Week. You know, I think that's going to be like October 9th through the 15th this year. And every year it happens. And I kind of wanted to know a little bit more about the history, because I grew up in Detroit during something called Devil's Night. Devil's Night would happen in October and people would just light fires. And I just kind of want to address two things with concerns with like fire safety. You know, this is the whole reason why we're even having this conversation, because Fire Safety Week is coming up. But I also want to shed some light on Fire Safety Week isn't just, and particularly with Detroit Fire, and I know other fire communities all over Michigan, they don't just deal in fire, it's medical emergencies as well. So I just want to shed some light on, you know, ways to prevent medical emergencies that are, you know, they're preventable. And to also talk about maybe a little bit more of the origins of Fire Safety Week and, you know, fire safety in Detroit, you know, during those times of, you know, now we have Angels Night and, you know, just some of those the history behind prevention.
Okay, so just a little minor correction. We don't have Angels Night anymore. I don't even know what Devil's Night is. I really don't. Oh. Now we have Halloween in the D. So Shout out to Mayor Duggan. Shout out to Mayor Duggan, Commissioner Sims, just doing a magnificent job, changing the whole dynamic. So Halloween in the D, we just celebrate Halloween. We give kids candy. We do trick-or-treating. We have a trunk or treat at the fire stations and the police precincts and different recreation centers throughout the city. So the whole Halloween in the D is just one big celebration. Not only is it a festive Halloween thing, but it brings the community together. It brings the people together and you get to know your neighbors. You get to know who lives around the block. And it's taking it back to old school. You know, a lot of times now we stay on this. We don't talk to people. We don't have conversations. So that's what Halloween in the D is. We don't even think about fires. The fires have gone down tremendously. Yeah. Last year, I could probably count on one hand how many fires we had during that time. So it's just been a tremendous job, a group effort, like I said, from Mayor Duggan, Commissioner Sims, our fire commissioner, even DPD and the community. It takes one team. It takes a village to keep everybody safe.
Right, right. And I know since Duggan's been in office since about 2013, so this is probably like going into 9-10 years of, you know, Halloween in the D. So, congratulations on the wonderful effort of kind of, you know, bringing something wonderful for the community and just keeping, you know, good things going. So my other question now is going to lead into a little bit more about, you know, storing things like combustibles and, you know, when it's warm or when it starts to get cold, you want to start to, you know, bring in things into the house, like, you know, lawnmowers and things like that. So how should, you know, potentially harmful things be stored? Like, I don't know if you're bringing gasoline into the house for that you used to use for lawnmowers and things of that nature. What are some hidden dangers that folks can unwittingly bring into their house just because, you know, it's starting to get cold and things of that nature?
You hit it on the nail. Everybody doesn't have a garage. Some people don't have a garage or a storage shed. So they, what are you going to do? You're going to bring your lawnmower in. But if you can, that last cut, if you can just cut the grass and use your lawnmower, to all that gas is burned out and used up. Don't let me use the word burn, but use all the gas out of that lawnmower or try to drain that lawnmower and get all the fuel out of it, then bring it in. And not only when you bring it in to store it, will you have no fuel in it, but put it away from the furnace room. Don't put it in the furnace room. We have a bad habit of wanting to put everything out the way. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. When it comes to storing things in the basement, that's everybody's go-to. Oh, let's put it in the furnace room. Let's put it back there out of the way, out of sight. Hey, I'm having company. I don't want them to see the lawnmower. But make sure you take that fuel out of there. Same thing with your snowblower when you store it in the summer when you bring it in. Keep that fuel out of there because the furnace, you got your hot water tank down there that's staying lit all the time. Anything could happen. Combustibles, other chemicals. You got everything. You got lighter fluid. You got everything. Keep it away. But if you have a garage, keep it up high. Keep that lighter fluid up high because a lot of us have children and children are going to be children. They're going to be curious. They're going to mess with stuff.
Find a way to get into something. He just like loves to get into stuff at this age.
That's what they do. That's what they do. So if they have lighters, and I'm aging myself, when I first started the fire department, we're like, don't play with matches. And I'll never forget, I went and did a presentation about 5 years ago, and I was like, don't play with matches. And every child in this room was looking at me like,
what's a match?
What's a match? And I thought about it. It's like, oh, maybe they don't know what matches are. So please keep those lighters, you know, the grill lighters that you use to light the grill. Mm-hmm. Keep those out of harm's reach. Keep them away from the children. If you got those little containers, it almost looks like Tupperware, a tote you can buy from a dollar store or Target or something. Maybe you might want to put some of your things in there and put a top on it and store it that way as well.
All right. So last question, I kind of want to have you walk us through, it's a two-parter, walk us through a day in the life of, you know, community relations. From my understanding, I know community relations probably entails a lot of taking the smokehouse out to communities and putting people through simulations, or, you know, just educating people on everything we talked about today, particularly during Fire Safety Week. So the community is probably going to see you a lot out there in the coming weeks. So walk us through some of the challenges of the job, and then we'll get into the second half of the question, you know, around recruiting and, you know, getting the next crop of, you know, brave young firefighters to, you know, join up.
Okay, so a day in the life of community relations. The beauty of it is it always changes. The challenge is changing the culture. Like I was saying, if you're talking to an adult, maybe 40 years old or above, they've been doing this, whatever they do, their patterns, their habits, they've been doing it 40 years. So it's kind of hard. You got to go in, you got to have their thought process change. Hey, I've been keeping my house warm for 40 years, turning the oven on. Well, starting the day, that ceases, that stops. We're not going to use the oven anymore. Well, why not? My mom did, my dad did, my grandparents did. Why not? So you have to change that. That's probably the biggest challenge. The biggest reward is, let me explain a little something about community relations. We go out and we educate the public on fire safety. So we prevent fires. Everybody automatically thinks when they think of a firefighter, they think of, hey, climbing a ladder, kicking a door in, putting somebody on your shoulder, carrying them out, putting that fire out. And yes, we do that. Detroit Fire Department, we're the best on the globe, on the planet, at extinguishing fires. But we've changed that. We don't have as many fires as we used to, thanks to community relations and our fire marshal division and our training division and our EMS division. We educate the public. So we go around. We go around from preschool all the way to senior citizen homes, educating the public, telling them what they need, tell them the biggest tool they need. They need this. They need that smoke alarm. Not only do you need a smoke alarm in your house, once you hear it, you got to get out.
I have to interject because I do think that folks kind of go deaf to that, like that almost sounds like basketball dribbling on the court.
Yes.
Your smoke detector is dead. It's dead. Yes. And you probably need to get a new one, because I think I hear it when I take my walks, people's homes, like, you know, and it could be a lifesaver for you.
Yes, as the young kids say, it's irritating. I don't get it. I don't understand how you're sitting in that house listening to that smoke alarm go off all day. But the beauty of it is now they have a 10-year smoke alarm. It has a lithium battery. You don't have to worry about changing that battery. You buy that smoke alarm, you replace it in 10 years, a lithium battery. What we're having, we're just perfect example, tonight's Thursday night football. So you have people actually saying, hey, we won't have a fire. First of all, everybody takes fires for granted until it happens to them. So we won't have a fire here. You know what? My remote control is not working. I need batteries. So maybe I'll take the battery out of my smoke alarm and put it in my remote control so I can watch Thursday night football. But then when a fire happens, you don't know. You don't hear it. So we educate people on
all of that.
Yeah, you're sleeping on that. So we educate people on that. We teach a fire escape plan. And it's simple. Two ways out. That smoke alarm goes off. You get low. When you get low, you go. You check that door. You sleep with that bedroom door closed. A lot of people like, I'm not sleeping with my bedroom door closed. I need to hear what's going on. I need to see what my children are doing. So we educate you. First of all, we start with the children. We go K through 8, kindergarten through 8th grade in every school. And the thing is, they're going to pass the word along to their family. We give them homework. Hey, when you go home and you're at the dinner table, educate your mom, educate your brother, your sister, your dad, your aunts, your uncles. Tell them what you just learned today. Tell them to sleep with that bedroom door closed, because then with that bedroom door closed, if there is a fire in the hallway, that's going to buy you about 7 minutes. That gives you plenty of time to pick up that phone, call 911 once you get outside and get out of that window. There are two ways out, the door and the window. So always know that. If you have security bars on your windows, we recommend you don't have them on the second story at all. But if you have them on the first floor, compromise, pick one room, one window, and take the bars off that one window. And part of your escape plan, everybody in the home should know which room you could crawl out of that window in. have a deadbolt lock where you can just turn the lock and get out. You don't have to look for a key. So I know a lot of people on here, you like, what's the shows? I don't watch them. Rescue 911 with Angela Bassett, Chicago Fire. I don't watch. I hear other people talk about it. It's probably real cute, but that's TV.
They're unrealistic, and or at least that's what I hear firsthand from, you know, folks who are in the know. They're just like, that would never happen. They need to be on the beta side of the building. They are like, they're not, you know, actually checking this flashover city right here. And just like, oh my gosh. And it's kind of, it's the heroic side. Whereas now it's really the role, it sounds like it entails a lot more of the prevention and the informing people, because you know, you don't want it to get to those dramatic, you know, Chicago Fire, you know, levels of things.
No, but the thing about it, people don't understand, is I tell everybody, close your eyes, close both eyes, then cover both eyes with your hands. That's how dark it is in a real fire. You can't see anything. And it's so smoky. It's the equivalent of you trying to turn that oven on and trying to stick your head in your oven. You'll never do it. It's hotter than that. You can multiply that times two. As a matter of fact, the fire doubles every minute. So you can have a small fire in a trash can. A minute later, that whole kitchen is on fire. A minute after that, your whole first floor can be on fire. So a couple other things we recommend. We don't give these out, unfortunately, but you can buy a rescue ladder. The last time I checked, they're about $49, $50 on Amazon. Rescue ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You hook it on your window. It drops down. You can climb out and climb to safety. So the other thing with your fire escape plan, once you get out, stay out. Don't run back in. I know everybody wants to run back in for their valuables. Oh, I forgot my laptop. Oh, geez, I forgot my PS5. I got a brand new pair of Jordans. I was about to go play basketball.
You can replace that stuff, especially make sure you have insurance. You can replace that stuff, but you can't replace you. You know?
Absolutely. Yes. So don't run back in for anything. And not even your pets. Like I was telling somebody this morning, our pets are extremely smart. They're smarter than humans.
They will find a way out of that building before you will.
Yes. So every time we go to a rescue or something, we pop that door open, we open that window. First thing we see is that pet. They're extremely smart. So don't run back in. You get out, you stay out, and you meet up. You have a meeting place outside, a mutual meeting place that you pick way before there's an emergency. So you already know it's automatic, just like a fire drill in your office or at school. Once you get outside, you meet up, you pick up that phone and call 911. Don't run back in the house looking for your phone. Your neighbors, trust me, somebody has a phone and they can call 911. So don't run in talking about, oh, I got this new iPhone 14. Oh my gosh. No, get out, stay out, meet up.
Well, thank you so much for that. And I'm just going to put it into our final question, which is, you know, recruiting for the next generation of folks. And I know you guys just had a big hiring and a big sort of recruitment, event all over during the summer. And now you guys are, currently, let us know what phase new recruits are in at this point. But I understand that, like with police in particular, it's been a hard time finding folks who actually want to, you know, actually join police departments. And I'm wondering if with fire, if it's the same way. I know that in some instances, even maybe in my city, it's been a challenge. But, you know, what is that like? And what are some of the ways that you would, you know, encourage a young person to pick this life and pick the rewarding aspect of saving lives, educating people, and, you know, coming to the rescue? And what advice would you give to that young person who wants to be a firefighter?
The number one advice I would give them is go to school, get educated. A lot of people think you just need muscles. You just need to be able to climb. You just need to be brave. Yes, you do. That's true. But you need to know how to think. We have some of the best men and women in the world that are on our fire department. And a lot of these homes we go in, construction is different. With this new construction, these houses aren't the same as they were back in the 40s, back in the 50s, when a lot of these homes were built. So you need to know construction. You need to know building construction. You need to know a little bit about science. You need to know a little bit about chemicals. So don't take your education for granted. You can get promoted by having more education. You can learn a lot. You can save your life by being educated. So that's number one. Number two, always stay in the best shape possible and be conscious of what you put in your body, what you're eating, what your diet is. Know that. We always put safety first. And the biggest reward we get is nothing like being in the grocery store, or being in the mall, and a child walks up to you, because we don't change. We look the same. So a child will walk up and be like, "Hey, didn't you come to my school?" And I'll be like, "Yes, I did. What's the name of your school?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah." So I'm like, "What did you learn?" And they'll break it down, just like I told you a minute ago. Two ways out, the window and the door, smoke alarms, get low and go. And I can't describe that. That's the biggest reward possible. So back to our recruits. You got to be 18 years old, can't have any felonies. You got to love people. You got to love to help people. That's what we do. You name it, not just fighting fires. We're medically trained. So we're going on medical runs. And one quick thing about medical runs, a lot of people take this for granted. If you stub your toe, you're walking up the stairs and you hit your toe, you don't necessarily need to call 911 to call an ambulance for that. Let's try to put some ice on it. Let's see what it is. The thing is, we have serious victims, and I'm not taking anything for granted. I'm not knocking anybody saying your injury is not important. But if I've got to compare you stubbing your toe on the stair to a stroke victim, I think we need to use that ambulance for that stroke victim, for that person that just had a heart attack. So what people don't understand, some people call 911 just because they got a bellyache. They ate the wrong thing. No, you got a little slight case of heartburn. Get some Tums or something, or we're from Michigan, get you a Verner's.
But get okay. You a Verner's and drink that, and yes. It cures everything. And
yes.
Since you did bring up, I actually have a question. I was able to, I worked for the city a while ago, and I was able to take a tour of the dispatch, you know, sort of headquarters. And, you know, they're trained to sort of, you know, guide you through a lot of, you know, medical emergencies and things, and tell you what to do and guide you through things as help is on the way.
They are.
Depending on the severity of the emergency. And so, you know, I just think that that's something that maybe folks, especially in Detroit, could be aware of. You know, that person is going to be trained, and, you know, they have some background and some knowledge on, you know, what to for you to do, you know. And that's something that, you know, I wish we had in my own city, but, you know, we've got capable folks who are going to be able to come on the scene as well. But we do love to prioritize, you know, like, hey, if you can, you know, let's try to help yourself. And then, you know, we can prioritize the calls that are going to be high priority, like strokes, heart attacks, and things of that nature.
Correct. And shout out to our communications division, Chief Wyatt, and our 911 dispatchers. It all starts with them. People don't understand that. It's one sound, one band, it's one team, but it starts with them. They've got to tell us where to go. They've got to talk to that person. And we call them our customers. They're our citizens. We treat them like royalty. Everybody's up here. So when that 911 calls in and they call that dispatch notifies us. So it doesn't happen without them. We got to get that correct address. We got to get those correct cross streets. They'll let us know if a street's blocked, if a street's closed. And just like you were saying, they're educated. They can walk a person through. They know how to do CPR over the phone. So they can teach you how to do hands-only CPR and resuscitate someone over the phone. So it's just we have a dynamic team right now. And back to your recruiting question, it's nothing like being a firefighter. I mean, I can't describe it. We call it a firehouse. The reason we call it the firehouse is because it's a home. We do everything there. We laugh together. We cry together. We eat there. We don't order out to Little Caesars, and we don't get McDonald's. We cook everything from scratch. We clean our own firehouse. You know what I mean? We don't have custodians. We do all the cleaning. It's our firehouse. We fix it up like we want it. Each fire station has a different character. It's a beautiful thing. So you walk in at 7 in the morning and you get off at 7 in the morning that next morning. It's a 24-hour shift. Two things we don't have, I regret. No, before you ask, we don't have a Dalmatian and we don't have the poles. Took the poles out way back in the 80s before I started. So we don't have a pole.
That's dangerous in itself. It's like you're on the way to a scene where somebody is potentially hurt, and then, you know, you may end up hurt yourself. So, you know, that sounded like a hazard in itself. But my other question is, I know that a lot of, I'm a millennial, and you've got potentially Gen Zers who are in their 20s, who want to join, you know, the fire department. And every dude I know in my age bracket is bearded. And so is that one of the requirements? Is that something that's waived, or do you have to also be like clean shaven in this line of work?
Come on, Ms. Lyons. Out of all the questions in the world, you hit me with this one. I've never been asked that question.
Some folks, no, they've kind of seen it as a like, oh, I got to shave my beard. No, no, thanks. I'm like, what? So, yeah, I had to.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
And it's a safety reason. We put on our mask. We've got a positive pressure mask. You have to get a seal around. So unfortunately, you do have to shave your beard.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, any closing remarks or any advice to folks out there as, you know, the temperatures drop and, you know, people are turning on their heat for the first time and, you know, just being aware of what's going on in the community and, you know, just things that you would like to tell us as we move into fall, you know, in terms of fire safety, and words of wisdom to folks who would like to go into your line of work.
Okay. Back to your recruiting question. We don't judge millennial, Gen Z, Gen X, baby boomers. We don't care. As long as you like to help people, as long as you're professional, as long as you're a caring person, we can train you on the rest. We got you. And we use everybody's skill set. You know, some people are techies. That's all they know. But hey, we'll use it. We've got apps. Things have changed. We've got apps to tell you where our hydrants are, to tell you how to do things. So we take all skill sets and we use it to our advantage. Like I said, 18 to 60, you can be a Detroit firefighter. No felonies. You have to have a clean driving record. You have to have a driver's license. You have to have your a high school diploma or the equivalent, and we'll train you on the rest. You just got to want to be here. And who wouldn't want to be here? It's the greatest job in the world. I wouldn't trade it for the world. All of us do something on the side. I've got, like, you know, my buddy Carl. Carl's a DJ. I've got buddies of mine that are actors. I've got buddies of mine that are principals, teachers in school systems. I've got buddies of mine who have gone on to the medical field, and true enough, they retire once they got their doctors. They got their PhD. But you name it, we do it. I know some firefighters. These ladies have they do hair on the side. They beauticians on the side. You name it, we do it. Actors, you name it, we do it. Athletes, we got former professional athletes on our job. And the beauty of our job, I'll tell you this one secret: we work 2 days a week, so it enables us to do any and everything under the sun on your days off. You can go back to school and further your education, get your bachelor's, get your master's, get your PhD, whatever you want to do. You can do it on the Detroit Fire Department. It's the greatest team in the world. And we don't call it a career. We don't call it a job. It's a lifestyle. It's a culture. And it's the best one out there. So that's my recruiting pitch. We'd love to see you. We don't discriminate on age, gender, ethnicity, you name it. Just come on. We're all one team.
All right. Well, thank you so much. That was the most beautifully put way to say, like, hey, I feel like I'm fired up. Wanting to, just let that message be heard to any young person who kind of wants to make a difference and has that spirit of selflessness and wanting to help people and come and just be that heroic person in your community. And so I want to thank you so much for coming on Quick to Politic podcast, and thank all of you out there for listening and for viewing. And I'm just going to check and see if we have any questions out there in cyberspace. Okay, we've got folks watching, and thank you guys so much for watching. No questions from the audience, but I just want to thank you so much for your time for coming on, and good night, everybody.
Fire Prevention Week, October 9th through the 16th. It's statewide. Fire Prevention Week is major. We're going to kick ours off on October 9th at the fire station, Engine 56 on Ryan and 7 Mile. Please be there at 12 o'clock. We'll have free giveaways, free smoke alarms, CO detectors. Target is one of our sponsors. Come on out and learn some fire prevention tactics.
All right. Thank you. heard it.
Thank you
heard it.
Politics. Thank you, Ms. Lyons, for having me. Detroit Fire loves you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
All right, that's the end of the live stream. And thank you for all of you out there watching on YouTube and listening via Apple Podcasts.
Once again, we would like to thank our guest, Chief James Harris of the Detroit Fire Department. And we want to thank you, as always, guests who are out there listening in cyberspace, for joining us for this week's episode of Quick to Politic. This has been Quick to Politics host, Ernestine Lyons. And I also want to give a word of thanks to our local sponsor, Earnest Tea. EarnestTea.com is a tea company that wants you to enjoy the art of tea, the timeless art. And tea is, you know, as you all know, one of my favorite things. And with Earnest Tea, you have these locally sourced blends of spices and herbs and teas from around the world, and they're the perfect way to enhance any occasion. There's the fragrant escapes of the Earnest Tea experience that will envelop you in the elegance of tea times of bygone eras. From the smooth, rich, creamy taste of the marshmallow lavender chamomile to the bold spices of the firehouse chai. Have an adventure or an escape with the Ernestine signature blend of internationally inspired teas with a local twist. And I would recommend during Fire Safety Week, which is this week, that you go over to ernestine.com and buy some of the Firehouse blend today. Kevin's Firehouse Chai, that's a very popular chai tea. It's best served with milk. And it has a little kick of espresso for that fiery taste. So thank you once again for joining this week's Quick to Politic. I've been Ernestine Lyons, your host.